Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Seth, the doctor's name on Twitter who gave a long, long narration here of what Tank Dell is in for. His name is Jesse Morse, MD. Is that the person you're thinking of?
Yeah, he's annoyed me for some reason. I don't remember why, but yeah. But he is an actual doctor.
Did he annoy you because he's a board-certified family and sports medicine physician?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we weren't allowed to be annoyed by doctors.
Regenerative medicine stem cell expert? Probably dropping some of that stem cell
I don't remember
knowledge.
What annoyed me, but I muted him for some reason.
He's a fantasy doc. He's the owner of At Injury Experts and At All Natural Sups.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's supplements.
So what's he say? Yeah, he is an actual doctor.
Yeah, he's an actual doctor with 114,000 Twitter followers. He says this, Tank Dell injury update. And this is an update we'd heard from other people. He tore his left ACL, MCL, LCL, and meniscus. Hitting for the unfortunate cycle
he's not reporting that, but you're going to tell us what.
No, others reported it.
He's
laying this out. Yeah, he's taking from other people's reports. He said this will take multiple surgeries, with the first likely repairing the MCL and the LCL. Then, after 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the stability of the knee, the ACL will be reconstructed. It is unclear if the MPFL, that's what holds the patella in place, was torn. It is also unclear as to the severity of the damage to the meniscus and whether it will be trimmed or has to be repaired. And I don't know if that really matters with Tank. Sometimes guys tear meniscuses, during the season. And one of the trimming gets you back on the field a little quicker, but it's a little
more. It all depends on where the meniscus tear is, if it goes into the joint and everything. So it's just,
Tank's in for the long haul anyways.
Yeah. So if you have to repair the meniscus, it's a longer recovery.
It's a longer recovery, but Tank's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
The closest, most recent comparison to this is Nick Chubb. But Dell's injury was worse than Chubb. We should remind people, Nick Chubb got hurt last year. He did get back on the field this season.
Does he say why it's worse than Nick Chubb's?
He just says, but Dell's was worse than Chubb's. This injury was similar to Napoleon McCallum. Oh, boy. Do you remember that one? The running back for the Raiders?
I remember that there was a Napoleon that had... Oh, yes.
It
I do remember
bent.
That. Yep.
His got bent.
Yeah.
He got hit in the front.
Yeah.
And the knee bent backwards, noticeably. That was a really bad injury, he says. This is the worst part. All the other stuff is just the prelude to, this is definitely career-threatening, possibly career-ending. Returning in 2025 is a tall task. While we don't have any specifics, I think there's a good chance Dell's surgery will be performed by Dr. Dan Cooper, who's one of the top knee surgeons in the world. He's the team doctor for the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, can we trust the Cowboys team doctor? He did take a Hippocratic oath. Can we trust the doctor for the Cowboys to do a good job on a Houston Texan?
Yeah, I guess so. They have the same sports psychologist that works for the Yankees and recommended that they should look to the...
Watch the sweep.
Watch the Red Sox come back and
2004.
And beat the Yankees as evidence that it can be done.
When they were trailing the Astros by a 3-0 margin.
That's
a couple
right.
Years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not a good recommendation. That did not work out. Mm-hmm. Yankees got swept. So anyways, I say all this to say, God bless Tank Dell. I hope this all works out.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. It was really, really tough. It was ugly and it's awful for Tank Dell. I guess you go into next season, you certainly can't expect that Tank Dell's going to be available.
You
got to
plan as Tank Dell's not going to be.
You got to look at this like a pitcher that just got a Tommy John surgery on the last game of the season. Like, okay, we don't know when he's going to come back, but don't hold your breath.
If you, and maybe multiple of these things happen, if you had to choose one, trade for Garrett Wilson,
mm-hmm.
bring Stephon Diggs back,
mm-hmm.
draft a receiver with a first or second round pick.
Draft a receiver.
You would?
Yeah. I think the thing is, and I know a lot of people are saying you need an interior offensive lineman. There are plenty upon plenty of good NFL teams that are not chock full of first round offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Like almost all of them. Almost all the good offensive lines don't have five first rounders across the board. You know, ideally, you've actually got at least one late round draft pick or a free agent sprinkled in there who's just a certified badass. It's that there's more to it than just that. They got to fix the entire offensive operation, including the way the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator are operating. You know, whether that means new ones or whether whatever it is, it's not just a personnel issue. So I would rather, because likewise, bringing Garrett Wilson in is not a salve for all of the things that kept the Texans from being good offensively when they had Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs.
No,
they weren't a good offense at any point this season.
In fact, I feel like it would feed the beast that may have consumed the Texans this offseason, which is, ooh, shiny new toys.
I mean, we're at a point where we're multiple games into the season, and the Texans were winning games, but the Bobby Slowick was like Mel Kiper acting like, oh my gosh, cover two. Whatever do I do against cover two?
They have to ban it.
You run the ball. Like, it's simple. It's so simple.
Yeah.
All of us old heads out there, we're looking around wondering, like, wait a second. Why are people so confused about what you do versus cover two? Yeah. It's so easy to run versus cover two if you actually know what you're doing.
Yep.
And the Texans did not know what they were doing.
They did not. They did not at all. People still weighing in on the text page. Our number one wide receiver is injury prone. Our other top three receiver is a little guy. It's also injury prone or just had catastrophic injuries constantly every year, talking about Tank, or at least these first 2 years. And the third receiver had a non-contact older guy issue. We need all new receivers, all new O-line,
all new.
Two more defensive backs that can cover. We need linebackers that are better or not injury prone. Blank. We're at a rebuild.
Okay, so no.
Bleep, I should say. Not
rebuild. Rebuild's crazy. For one, especially in the NFL, like it's just the concept of what a rebuild is anymore. It's dicey.
You've got a lot of guys in a lot.
Look,
of spots.
CJ, there's not a quarterback in the draft or elsewhere that I would rather have right now still than CJ because the ceiling is still very, very high. He's still done some very good things this year. It's just the bad things have been too bad. Yes, all those things would be great, but you do have to look at and be realistic about it. When you look around the NFL and you watch some of the offenses that are operating at a much higher level than the Texans, they don't have talent that's any better than what the Texans have on paper. So it's very much the entirety of the offense, including the coaching right now, that's not getting the job done. So there is no magical mixture of players that's going to change that. You talk about, okay, you need defensive backs who can cover. They're just fine with their actual starting cornerbacks. It's the guys in the depth, you know, and it's like, slot corners. I know a lot of people want Kamari Lassiter to play slot. This is the problem. I think Kamari Lassiter would be great at slot corner. It's a lot easier to find a confident slot corner than it is to find a guy who can play on the outside.
Kamari's shown he can play at a high level for a rookie on the outside right now.
Yeah, some of the way they operate defensively is like you can't rely on Jalen Petrie or Jimmy Ward to be a guy that's one-on-one at the line of scrimmage with Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson, ironically enough.
Yep.
But that speaks more to depth at cornerback. Then certainly not your starting. And what were the other positions he mentioned on defense?
Oh, boy, he listed almost all. He said we need linebackers that are better.
The linebackers will be, well, with Azeez Alshire, I feel good about him. The Christian Harris and what is he right this moment? And like he's definitely running with a hitch in his giddy up yesterday. I feel good about the linebacking core. Those are young guys that I feel are swarm, and I feel they're the right kind of guys. The trouble on offense is that I'm not sure that a lot of your highest paid guys on offense are the type of mentality that you want moving forward. I don't know if Dalton Schultz, the way Laremy Tunsil operates, great. He's great in pass protection. The problem with this team has not been the left tackle pass protection. It's been the downs on first and second down where you can't run the ball to save your life, even when it should be easy to run the ball. Screens. Yeah. The cure for screens cannot be never call screens again.
Right.
That's not the cure for screens.
No, you got to get better at it.
They've got to be better at coaching it up and getting guys to execute screens.
Yep.
But it's not a talent issue there. That's the thing that speaks to me more so with Bobby Slowick about, man, you guys can't run screens to save your life. None of the guys out there look like they even, it looks like they're making decisions about who do they block after the ball is caught on a screen.
Yeah.
The timing is way off. It's really bad. The execution on the screens goes back to the offensive coordinator. I've told you, when the 49ers are really rolling, what I love about it, like these past few years before this season, was it's artistry on their screens. The offensive linemen are all set up waiting for the ball to come out of the quarterback's hands. They're waiting at the 1 yard line, and then they pounce on the defensive or offensive linemen trucking safeties and cornerbacks and everybody down the field. You get none of that with the Texans, partly because nobody looks like they know who they're supposed to block.
No.
Which is bad.
No,
that's bad on any level of football.
Your four highest paid guys on offense are Laremy Tunsil, in order.
Yeah.
Laremy Tunsil, Nico Collins,
mm-hmm.
Titus Howard, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Three of those four guys kind of just
out there
floating
just,
like a feather on a breeze.
Yeah,
out there.
All right. Hey, how's my PFF pass protection grade? Cool.
Right,
all
right. Right.
Yeah, it's not it, man.
Nope.
It's just not it. And it's tough because I'd like to have any one of them on my football team. I don't want those to be the leaders of the young guys on offense.
Right.
And I know they gush about. There's one thing where I think it still gets me that in the broadcast against the Chiefs, they said that CJ said that Dalton Schultz is a tight end you would build in a lab. And I'm just wondering, like, what is CJ's perception of the NFL?
What's his perception of a lab?
And I know he watches a lot of football.
Yeah.
Well, more so than a lot of young players these days. Like, I mean, like, he knows George Kittle. He's watched Travis Kelce in his prime. Like, he's seen these guys. Dalton Schultz is not those guys. I don't understand exactly where that comes from.
You know, back before the days of video games, you know, when I was a kid, one of the things that people liked to get was, like, your parents would give you, like, a chemistry set.
Yeah.
You know, they give you all the different potions and vials and the test tubes and everything else. And that was a gift that always lasted, like, one day for me because I sucked at doing chemistry. I was a horrible laboratorist.
I'll tell you.
I was horrible in a lab.
I'll make it even simpler. How about a Lego set?
Lego set.
How many X-Wing fighters did you successfully complete with your brand new Lego set?
There is not a good X-Wing laboratory at all.
You had some. Somehow you got three wings on that thing when there's supposed to be four.
That's the Dalton Schultz laboratory. Sean Pendergast Christmas gift laboratory, man. I like this new version of John Gruden. John Gruden, with Barstool now, starting to do things where I'm feeling like, I don't think he cares to get back into coaching
He's just
anymore.
Letting it all hang out. He's like an old man when he starts wearing fuchsia pants. Like, what do I care? I'm going to
brunch.
We
got to check, I know he's married, but he might have a young girlfriend.
I'm going to make inappropriate comments. I don't give a damn.
Here was John Gruden on TikTok doing a Jacksonville Jaguars version of the night before Christmas, and it felt very strange. I'm like, this is a very odd team for him to just go ahead and pick on. He's picking on the Jacksonville Jaguars here. Gruden.
So, hey, Duval, good morning. This is John Gruden, and I got a poem to read to you. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through Duval, the fans sat in silence, no cheering at all. On his yacht Kismet, Shad paced the deck. His team was adrift, his patience a wreck. While Trevor stood ready, so young and so bright, the staff held him back. This just wasn't right. The fans roared with hope. Clowns' noses retired as Trent and Doug had finally been fired. Prisco stood stunned, his whining now done. As Baselli proclaimed, Duval's time has begun. His eyes growing weary, his back getting tight, Shad whispered to Jax, it's time to unite. Merry Christmas to all, and to Duval, good night.
Wow, he went full Grinch.
He went deep, too, because he had Pete Prisco mentioned in there.
Was it the name of Shad? He kept saying Shad. That's how I knew it wasn't AI. Because he was calling him Shad instead of Shad Khan.
That's funny. The staff held him back. That's a former coach on current coach violence
there. So if Gruden, like, that would be a team that
that's
maybe
code
Gruden might
right
think,
there.
Like, I got a shot at getting a job there, maybe. Who knows? But he's calling out, he's ridiculing the owner on Christmas Eve.
Coach.
Mm-hmm.
The GM talked about clown noses being retired. I think there was a T-shirt.
Oh, probably.
That had Balky with a clown nose on it. Their GM. Yeah.
Did he go after Shad Khan's son at all, Tony?
No, Khan? No. And that would have been low hanging.
Wait, is that his name?
Tony.
Tony.
Yeah. Tony Khan. Yeah.
Who's the name of the writer from the Aggie writer?
Sam.
Sam Khan. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay, Sam Khan.
Yeah, that's
a quiz game I didn't know I would play today. Aim your cons.
Yeah. What about the one from Star Trek? His name was just Khan?
I think he was just Khan. Okay. Yeah. A trick question. He has no first name. It is his first name. So,
I tried to get myself in the Christmas spirit yesterday. I kind of be like, hey, Seth, be a kinder, gentler version of yourself. Texans took care of that.
Blame the Texans.
Texans took care of that.
Yeah, did they?
The only way it worked was that I had a Christmas dinner to go to, so I didn't really have time to just
Were you pleasant at the Christmas dinner?
Oh, yeah. I was very pleasant there.
Okay.
The children do that to you, you know? You don't want to be like, I didn't want to go full Seth in front of a group of school-age children.
We'll save that for the show when they're all driving to school.
Not today.
No, not today.
They're fast asleep in their...
Or playing with their gifts or whatever. Yeah, they're doing something.
Fast asleep in their nightgowns and caps.
Yes.
Whatever they do in Christmas.
Whatever
carols.
Gruden just said. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Thursday here. Texans lose yesterday 31-2. There's been a steady progression over the last couple of months where the Texans just don't look like they're going to be a playoff team. They don't look like a playoff team. There is one guy out there who had a very Merry Christmas. And I'm talking about, when I say a guy out there, I'm talking about one of those kind of standard generic people that assess the NFL.
Oh,
this guy had a very Merry Christmas yesterday. We'll tell you who he is next.